And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, happy Shane McClanahan Day to all who celebrate.
Ah, the most wonderful time of the year. Something that feels like it should be a celebrated national holiday for sure. But soon, it will just become part of our weekly schedule. Every 5 days is going to be Sugar Shane Bump Day, but it all starts right here with his first appearance of spring training. First time we've seen him since mid-2023. It's very exciting. I'm so excited. And yet, we need to address that there is no spring training game on TV today.
And you got to be there. Watch him.
You got to be there.
If you're going to be there and see Shane pitch, I would appreciate it if you guys would come back to us as well as maybe liking and subscribing if you're enjoying the show and tell us how he looked in person, because we're not going to be able to see him. It's a huge shame. You know, I guess unless you play the Yankees and the Red Sox pretty much and maybe the Dodgers in spring training, you're kind of on your own. You just got to hope that maybe one of them gets picked up. That's where we are right now. And where we also are right now is here with all of you. Thank you all for coming in and joining us. We're going to talk outfield, catcher, DH, position groups, who we think are going to be the impactful players there, jam-packed show, talk about spring training, what we've seen so far, the things we like, things we maybe didn't like. We got all of it for you and really hope you enjoy. If you do enjoy and you want to see us again, we continue to break down. We're going to break down relief pitchers next week. Do us a huge favor and drop a subscribe or a follow on social media. That'll let you know when we're coming back to you live. But we're going to get right into it right now, and we're going to start with talking about the week that was in spring training. Pat, what was the thing that stuck out to you the most? I mean, obviously, the results don't really matter, but what was the thing that stuck out to you the most watching the last week of spring training?
Well, obviously, the first thing we got to address is we are currently about a quarter of the way through the spring training schedule, and we're currently sitting second from the bottom of the Grapefruit League standings.
It's terrible.
I can't believe it. These things are always indicative of how the season is going to go, and we should just pack it up right now with games under 500.
Trade everybody.
Trade them all. Shut the team. Cancel the team. But in reality, there's been loads of real fun storylines to follow in this first week of spring training. I think the one I want to address first is kind of maybe my favorite headline, which has been Chandler Simpson winning the hearts and minds of all Rays baseball fans. And I think it's important that we bring him up because we are talking about the outfield mix today, yes, is our main event topic. And I think when we last mentioned Chandler Simpson, we gave him a cursory nod as someone that will try and fight for a spot in the outfield coming into the 2025 season. And he has turned a lot of heads here early. I mean, he's been getting on base now at an outrageous clip. I think routine ground balls are no longer routine, and he is stealing a lot of bases. But I think perhaps the biggest step for Chandler Simpson is he has been flashing the glove out there in the outfield. Most prospect projection systems rate him as kind of like 50 grade outfielder. Like, he's fine, but the amount of ground he was covering to get to some of those balls is something only he can do with that speed. And if he continues to get reps out there and improves his routing a little bit, then, oh my goodness, we might have something special. A bit of an old school type leadoff hitter prototype right there.
And I mean, there's a name that's right there in my mind. I'm not going to say it because that's not fair to him. Not going to say it, but I think we're all thinking it a little bit of where this guy comps to. Not going to say it yet. We'll let him do something in the majors first before we say it, but it's there. It's in our heads. And the thing that has been so fun about this is Simpson clearly knows I'm kind of on the outside looking in right now. I'm really close. And through social media and just through his play on the field, he is making it known I want to force the Rays' hand. I want them to have to make a really hard decision at the end of spring training, whether to put me on or off the roster. And he is showing right now everything we've talked about with him, the kind of value he can provide to a team, where the kind of pressure that he puts on the pitching staff and the defense the second he steps in the batter's box. That's the kind of stuff that is real value. And it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet immediately, but when a pitcher knows if this guy is on base, I've got to deal with him. Even if he just gets on as with a single or a fielder's choice or something, I've got to deal with the runner in scoring position probably. All that stuff that gets that's going to get into a pitcher's head, that's all there with him. That's all that, that he can provide. I just – it's hard for me to not think about him at the top or potentially the bottom of a lineup. Like, can you imagine a lineup where Chandler Simpson is your nine-hole guy and Yandy Diaz is your one-hole guy? Chandler gets on with a single, steals a couple bases, and all, then Yandy pokes one out there and it's a run. And that's your nine-hole to your one. So, like, those are the things that I'm thinking about now. And I love that Chandler Simpson is taking this opportunity and saying, I am going to make them put me in AAA, and they're going to have to really think about it. It's been so much fun to watch. It is, it's been one of the – maybe the biggest storyline of Rays spring training.
Yeah, he's so fun. I think something that you can't take for granted is infielders, when they're fielding ground balls, kind of have an internal clock that they run with. And they go, right, if I take the ball, maybe I have a time to tap the glove, throw. As long as this all happens within, let's say, like 2.8 seconds, then we're fine. Like, I can get most runners out. Chandler Simpson disrupts that internal clock. You can't go through your regular motions as a fielder when Chandler Simpson is gunning it down the first baseline. You've got to like change how you do your fielding to get the ball released in time. And if you're disrupting a motion that's been practiced a million times, your chance of creating the fielder to make an error goes way up.
Yep.
So it's all these intangibles that like kind of limit breaking speed can bring. He seems to have the bat-to-ball skills to put the ball in play enough to, you know, activate that speed. Because if he's striking out, the speed becomes a non-factor. And if he's hitting balls in the air too much, the speed becomes a non-factor. But if he can just keep putting bat on ball like he is in spring training right now, then he is such an interesting profile of player. And I want to see it. I know we still got a lot of spring to go before we have to make those final decisions. I think Chandler Simpson will stick around in big league camp for the majority, if not the entirety of the schedule. And they'll have to make that decision on maybe the final couple of days of spring.
Yeah, and he's making to make that decision. And the other player that is also in the same boat of really is going to start to make it a tough decision for the Rays is Curtis Meade, a guy who we talked about last week. And I'll say for myself, I did not have him on the roster and I still might not, but to be honest, he's making it really hard to say that because he is hitting the cover off the baseball in spring training. And again, it's spring training, take results with a grain of salt, but in a situation where, as we're going to get into here in just a minute, where there are no locks. There are some locks, but there are positions where there is availability to get on the roster. And when that exists and you get a performance like Meade is putting out there, he's going to make it a really hard decision for Kevin Cash and Eric Neander.
Yeah, he's been absolutely roasting the ball everywhere. I know everyone can have a hot week, but his week has been particularly hot. And again, like you just said, we thought he wasn't going to be on the roster, and now all of a sudden we're trying to do mental maths in our head about how, okay, maybe we can fit Meade on the roster. How is he going to fit around this infield mix that's already quite crowded? Can we have him and Aranda on at the same time? What do we do with Brandon Lau in this scenario? Does that mean that he moves into DH full-time? Like, what do we do there? So he's all of these things are problems, but like they're the best kind of problems, and maybe putting on a bit of muscle, adding 20 pounds to the old weight, is all Curtis Meade needed to kind of get that oomph behind the ball that he needed to be productive at the major league level.
We'll see. And I would like to be proven wrong of what I said before, that I don't think he's going to make it to the major league level with this team. I want to be proven wrong because there's a version of Curtis Meade that I have thought was going to appear where he is just a doubles machine and hits a couple home runs here and there, but he's just popping doubles constantly. If that version of Curtis Meade can appear at the major league level, that is we talk about all the time, like raising and lowering floor and ceiling. That is a floor raiser for the Rays. If you've got a guy who's maybe going to be on your bench or a guy that is giving Brandon Lau days off his feet at second base, who can provide that kind of offensive production? Before we move on to the our player previews for outfield, center, and DH. Is there anything you've seen so far in spring training that you don't like?
I mean, I've been underwhelmed by a few players. I mean, Eloy Jimenez hasn't shown tons yet. It's only a week, so you want to give him a little bit more time to see if he can put something together. But like, if the battle for that final roster spot is Simpson, Meade, and Jimenez, then it's a very clear kind of toss-up between Meade and Simpson, and Jimenez a distant way at the bottom after a first week of spring training. So I've been unenthused by that. Otherwise, there's not much that I could say, oh, this sucks. Is there anything that's really I mean, there's been way more positives in camp than negative for me. I mean, we didn't even talk about how well Danny Jansen started or Joe Boyle. Like, yes. These guys are also having real standout starts to their Rays career. Is there anything that's like sticking out to you that you're nonplussed with?
Yeah, Jimenez is the only thing that I would say that I am nonplussed about, because I was hoping to see a little bit more there. None of the pitchers are really concerning me. I don't give really much thought at all to results for pitchers early on in spring training. Then there's nobody who got shelled really that is going to be a major league starter for us this year. Pepio was fine yesterday. Latell was fine. Like, they weren't like amazing or anything, but I also don't expect them to be at this point in spring training. So, you know, I'm going to be very excited to see how Shane does today. But from the pitching side of things, it's been kind of, you know, nothing's like really blown me away except for Joe Boyle, and everything else has just been kind of fine. But I mean, I do think we got to talk briefly about Joe Boyle, because what a great outing for him yesterday. Four pitch mix, was just tossing the ball 99 miles per hour plus, elite stuff from him.
Yeah. Two innings, four strikeouts, and finding the zone with way more frequency than he's shown last year. If that is the trend and he's finding the zone consistently all throughout spring, how do you keep him off the roster? He's nuts. He's unhittable. I think he's like, if you took Tyler Glasnow and made his stuff even better, but his command even worse when you found, like, as in when we found him, when we took him from the Pirates, but an even more extreme profile of that.
Yeah.
And imagine if we fix Joe Boyle to the extent that we pitch Tyler Glasnow. Like, holy moly. Like, that's a pitcher right there. That's a Cy Young candidate.
It is. And you know, we're going to see. It's going to be an interesting storyline to watch all throughout the season, even if he's not on the roster right out of spring training. It'll be interesting to follow all season long. And we're going to be following it right here on the podcast. So we hope that you join us all throughout the season. We really appreciate you guys being here with us all throughout the offseason and now joining us back for the regular season. If you would do us a huge favor, if you've enjoyed our offseason coverage, if you are enjoying what we're doing so far, and you've been watching us for a while and you haven't subscribed yet, and you haven't followed us yet, do us a huge favor. It means a lot to us, helps us out. It's free. We want to keep bringing you this show. And it means so much to us if you would just give us a like, drop us a follow, drop us a subscribe, so that we know you're enjoying and that you know when we go live, because we're going to be going live all season long. And this is all these storylines that we're talking about and building up right now. It's only going to get deeper and more interesting as the season goes on.
Absolutely. And if you manage to catch us live, one of the best ways to get involved in the discussion is to watch us on YouTube while we're live, because if you're subscribed and you hit the bell, you'll know when that's happening, and you can leave comments, ask questions, get involved in the discussion live on the show. So you should do that as well.
Yeah, if you've got somebody that you've loved watching in spring training, let us know right now. Tell us who you are, who you're psyched about through spring training. And as we're going through the outfield, catcher, and DH previews, let us know what you think about all those positions and who you think should be the starters. We're going to get into it right now, and we're going to start right to left. We're going to start in right field, because it's maybe, I mean, you may disagree with me on this, but I don't know if there's any position more locked in right now for the Rays than right field, because it's just Josh Lowe. There's not even really anybody else to talk about for right field right now. It is Josh Lowe's position.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think the only other position that comes even close to that is Caminero at third, but other than that, yeah, Josh Lowe is going to be the right fielder, obviously coming off a down year in 2024, where he started the season injured and was kind of slow coming out of the box. Had some moments where he was looking like he was coming back to form, but never quite fully got there. His walk percentage was up on his 2023, where he was playing at an all-star quality pace in 2024. But the main thing was that he was striking out a ton in 2024, 31% of the time. So it's whether or not he's managed to get his swing back up to speed and getting to those balls like he was in 2023, that he was struggling to get in 2024. That high fastball problem starting to come back a little bit again. So, and you would like to say that Josh Lowe, when he's on, is an all-star quality player. I would say he's like, if you diluted Kyle Tucker a smidge, you're kind of where Josh Lowe is. Five tools when they're all happening. Yeah, I mean, it's just the problem is he's had two underwhelming stints in the big leagues and one really good one. Which ones are the mirage for Josh Lowe? And this is a big prove it year for him, or at least in my eyes.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the under the hood things with him, I'm going to chalk a lot of his inability to kind of replicate his performance against the fastball last season up to the oblique injury. You just hear about anytime you've ever heard pro athletes and especially baseball players talk about an oblique, it's just so hard to recover from. It just kind of nags all season, even when you're recovered and playing. I just feel like that was a huge factor in him not being able to perform at the level that he did in 2023. So I'm kind of giving him a pass for this last year. There's nothing that in his game so far that makes me think that he's not going to be able to provide that kind of 2.5, 3 F4 type player. He does have he has all the tools. He can be a 2020 guy. Absolutely. I think the question, you know, if we're talking about expectations for him, the ceiling for him, maybe you disagree, but I think the ceiling for him is, can he get to 30-30, maybe even 30-40? The floor is what we've seen so far, where he can't get the fastballs. He's hovering around 100 WRC plus, somewhere around there. Still stealing bases when he gets on base, but he's not getting on base quite as much as you'd like him to. The strikeouts can be there if he's having trouble with the fastball. That's kind of where we start to see you get concerned, is if he starts to get up to like that 25-29% strikeout rate. That's where you start to get concerned with him. So which version, you know, if we're trying to project him forward, which do you expect to see in 2025?
I'm hoping to see close to the 2023 version. I would be surprised if he massively exceeded that, to be honest. I don't know if he's going to get to 30 home runs. The thing is, he does swing the bat hard and generates, when he's on, like good barrel percentages. But I don't know. I don't know if he kind of, I don't know if he has a 30 home run season in him, but I do think, you know, we can get an 800 OPS, 800 plus OPS from him. You want to steal 30 bases if you're him and be good in the outfield. That gets you 3 wins. Yeah. And that's what we want from him.
Yeah. I think it's ironic, because I think this might be the only season he could get to 30-30, because he's got the benefit of the short porch as a lefty power bat, and who's going to start almost every single game. And you know, we haven't talked about this too much, but I think we need to start talking about it a little bit with the schedule. The way they have built out the schedule for 2025 is based around the idea that they do not want to be playing a lot of games in the summer in the Steinbrenner Field, because there is no roof, obviously, and it's because it's going to be really hot. I think it's less of a heat thing and more of a rain thing they're trying to get away from. As a result, there is a huge amount of games in the beginning part of the season that are at home. It's massively front-loaded, and there's a big road stretch in the summer. So what I think we could see is a bunch of our lefties get off to hot starts because they're taking advantage of the short porch in left field and the dimension of Steinbrenner Field. I think that we could see a lot of our hitters get off to hot starts through those many, many home games to begin the season. The question is going to be, can they sustain that throughout the rest of the year as they go on the road? And the hope would be that they get in the rhythm playing at home with a bit more friendly confines, and then can take that rhythm on the road throughout the summer and get some results there. With a guy like Josh Lowe, I know he wants to come back off of a kind of a down campaign. And being at home a lot is going to give him that chance. That's where I think we could see maybe a 25-35 season from him. That's what I'd really like to see from him. And again, you know, the flip side of that, if we're looking at where could the failure be for him, where could the suboptimal performance be for him, it's going to be if he just strikes out too much, if he can't reach that fastball. And you start to see him kind of, you know, the OPS dips down to 700. I don't know that he's really going to be much worse than that, but he could definitely drift down there if he's healthy anyway. And we could just kind of see, you know, he's out there and he's, you know, occasionally he'll pull one over the fence, but it's just not what we're, you know, he's maybe around 15 home runs and he's getting on base enough to get 20, 25 steals, but not to that 30, 35 that we're looking for. So I do agree with you that I think we're going to get something closer to 2023. And I'm even a little optimistic because I think he could get off to a hot start at Steinbrenner and carry some of that, hopefully parlay that throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah. If Josh Lowe, I think a good way to summarize it is a flaw for him looks a bit like his 2024 season.
Yeah.
But if Josh Lowe puts up another season like his 2024 season and he's healthy, what do you suspect the plan is in right field following that in 2025? Is that Josh Lowe's time is up and we have to figure out another option? Or do you think there's still anything left in the chamber if he has a full healthy campaign but doesn't produce the results in 25?
The thing that I think will be, you know, because in concert with Josh Lowe's season, we're also going to be looking at like a Christopher Morel, his season. I don't know that I'd want to put him in right field, but like that's, you know, that's where my mind goes. If he has another bad season, or for his standards bad season, I don't know that it's immediately abandoned ship on him. He's a first round pick. He's not a guy that we just want to give up on. I don't think they're going to just give up on him, but I do think you'll start to see, maybe he doesn't start every day. Maybe Morel's getting some starts there. Maybe Simpson's getting some starts there. There's a lot, there are guys in the Rays system, you know, outfielders that will eventually affect the major league roster. There's nobody right now that I'm like psyched about, like, man, like the opportunity is there. Let's get this guy in there. You know, it's like Tristan Peters, Cenk Mangum, Cameron Meisner. They're okay. Yeah. They're fine. You know, I think that where it starts to change. And if we get through another season, is Aiden Smith ready to affect the major league roster? Probably not, but I don't know. Obviously Guerrero, Braylor Guerrero, if you haven't heard his name yet, you're going to want to learn it. The kid is a freak of nature, 17 years old last season, hitting to like a 155 WRC plus. You're going to want to learn the name. He's another guy that will eventually affect the outfield. But I kind of think that Josh Lowe is going to get the chance to earn the spot, not just this year, but next year too. But I do think if we get to 2027 and he hasn't been able to replicate his 2023 form, that's where you start to say, well, maybe it's time for the young guys to come up and maybe really lock in that spot along with a Chandler Simpson.
Yeah. Braylon Guerrero is number 10 on Fangraphs' most recent top 56. I don't know why it's 56, but yeah. 56 Rays prospects. So he's a big deal. But they do put his ETA at 2029. So, right. Like, we might need to hold off a second on him. We gotta be careful with Randall. Like I said, I think this is a big make or break for him if he wants to be a regular right fielder for the Rays going forward. There was a point, I think, after 2023 where we said, hey, is this guy an extension candidate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is 2025 will be the decision, I think, on whether he's an extension candidate or not. Or, alternatively, last point on Josh Lowe, he has had a couple of injuries here and there. Do you think if he has another big injury this year, we have to put him in the Brandon Lau box of like, hey, he's great when he's healthy, but how often can we depend on that?
Yeah, and that would be unfortunate because if we have to put him in that box, he is not as good as Brandon Lau if he ends up in that box. That would be unfortunate if he had another serious injury and you get the sense that it's going to be an issue with him long term. And oblique is such a funny injury. I would be surprised if he has another injury like that. I don't expect that to happen. It could, but if he does get injured again, he unfortunately does not have the pedigree of performance that Brandon Lau has had to kind of buy him, you know, that roster spot. He doesn't have a 40 home run, you know, down ballot MVP vote campaign on his legacy to be able to stay on a roster if he's having injury troubles.
Yeah. So overall, confidence in right field position out of 10.
Yeah, I'm like a 9. We said a lot of really negative things about Josh Lowe the last like 5 minutes there, but I'm really confident that he's going to have a good season this year. Like, I think being starting out in Steinbrenner, starting fully healthy, I think he's ready to go. I think he's going to have a great season. It's a 9.5 for me.
Wow. I would put it at like an 8 just because he's a set and forget guy. Like, the position is his for the rest of the year. But he's not like a lock to be a top performer.
Yeah.
You'd bet on him to do it, but he's not a lock. So I'd put him at like an 8.
Yeah. And I guess I think for me, like, I suppose it is possible, but I mean, just after watching him in 2023, I don't feel like he was like overperforming his expectations or his skill set in 2023, which to me is why I have such a high confidence level, because I just don't see a world where he's healthy and not performing the way he did in 2023. I guess we'll find out. That's what the season's for. But I'm very confident in Josh Lowe.
Yeah, he's definitely like, if we're talking about like things we need to concern ourselves with the 2025 Rays, Josh Lowe is not on that list, really. Yeah. Center field also seems like it's something that we don't need to put too much thought into. Johnny DeLuca is penciled up to kind of get the run at that now that we traded Jose Siri. How are you feeling about Johnny DeLuca kind of taking over as a full-time starter in center field?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I think that you don't get the highs of Jose Siri, but you also don't get the lows of Jose Siri. Johnny DeLuca's kind of somewhere in the middle. He doesn't have Jose Siri's power. He's not quite as fast. He's maybe not quite the fielder Siri is, but I don't believe that DeLuca is going to check out for extended portions of a season. And so, at the end of the day, as much as we loved watching Siri, he clearly just was not right for the team. So I'm pretty fine with DeLuca starting the whole season there. What I'm looking for from him is, you know, obviously he had some injuries last year. I really want to see him get to right around 100 WRC plus league average bat, because that's kind of all I need from him. I don't need him to be a world beater at center field. We've got enough positions where there's guys with high upside from an offense standpoint. I don't necessarily need him to light the world on fire offensively. I just need him to not be a liability. If he can be a league average bat and continue to perform defensively the way we've seen him perform and steal a couple bases when he gets on, that's kind of all I need from him. And there's not really anybody else on the roster right now that is going to be playing a lot of center field. You might get your odd day from Josh Lowe over there. You know, maybe Palacios could be an emergency center fielder. I don't think that a guy like, you know, the only guy that's kind of in the minors that would maybe profile to start in center field if you needed him to is Mangum, who I am not. I don't have any particular interest in seeing that. So I think it's going to be Johnny DeLuca's position, and I expect him to do fine. I don't think he's going to be like a top 10 center fielder or anything, but if he's just a league average bat and playing good defense, that's two. I mean, it's like a 2 WAR player, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. And I think you're in fact selling short how good of a fielder Johnny DeLuca is and how good of a runner he is, because we're going from Jose Siri's like 100th percentile sprint speed to Johnny DeLuca's 98th percentile sprint speed. And we're going from Jose Siri's like 9 to 10 outs above average to Johnny DeLuca's 8 outs above average. Like, he is a really good fielder and a really fast runner. So, yeah, it's the skill isn't quite as extreme in those regards, but he's still got those as plus skills. He definitely does not have the power of Jose Siri, though. Like, let's be perfectly clear. There is no shot in hell that Johnny DeLuca is getting 20 home runs.
Yeah, no.
I don't think. If he was a lefty, maybe he could fake it over that short porch. But as a righty, I don't think it's happening for him. Nah. I think you're right, where we just got to go, hey, listen, if he can get close to a league average bat, which I think he has the potential to, I think something that went wrong for him in 2024 was that his swing decisions started to slide a little bit. His walks went down. He started chasing a bit more. He needs to stop pressing as much and just work with what he gets a little bit more. If he can sort out those swing decisions, chase a little bit less, focus on just putting the ball in play, let his speed do the talking, then I think there's a place where we can get him to a 90 to 100 WRC plus. And if he can do that with the fielding that he has, like you said, that's a couple of wins right there. You know, so that's all we need from him to be out of the eight or nine spot in the lineup, just having decent at bats and providing good fielding. That's all we want from him. And, you know, Luis Robert or like Byron Buxton or those like elite five tool center fielders are, you know, like gold dust. They don't just spawn out of the air. They're hard to find. Usually you've got to pick one tool set or the other, either an offensive minded one or a defensive minded one. And with center field, the amount of balls that they're going to have to play, you'd rather go with the glove skill set there. So that's exactly what we want out of him. I project probably like a 90 WRC plus out of the Luca, which would be a step up because he had a 77 WRC plus last year, and still good defense. Maybe he could steal 20 to 30 bags depending on how often he gets on base.
Right.
I think 20 is his flaw though. I think he could get 30, maybe even 40 if he gets on base enough. I'm fine with DeLuca being there. It's a shame that Siri couldn't like build on his 2023 campaign. Yeah. And we had to kind of cut ties with him because I think there's a higher ceiling on Jose Siri, but Johnny DeLuca is a totally serviceable guy in center field.
Yeah. And, you know, again, there isn't really anybody else nipping at his heels either. So I think, and that can, sometimes that's a bad thing because, you know, somebody gets complacent and comfortable, but because he's a younger guy and because there's some expectation of coming over from the Dodgers being a part of the Tyler Glasnow trade, I don't think that's going to be there. So I think I expect him to have a really nice season. Like I agree with you. The floor for him is like an 80 WRC plus, and he's, you know, I would say a bad season for him is like a 75 to 80 WRC plus with the good defense and maybe 15 to 20 steals. I expect something closer to a 95 to 100 WRC plus, knocking on the door of 30 steals. You know, not going to put up power numbers, but definitely going to be holding it down in center and not a position I'm going to have to feel like I'm worried about.
No, again, he's set and forget. Again, don't expect him to hit in the top half of the order unless Kevin Cash is like feeling frisky on a particular day and like bats him two, because he did that with Taylor Walls a couple of times where he just like bats him lead off or whatever. That might happen, but he's not going to be there with any kind of regularity, and he'll be completely solid for you. However, I reckon there is maybe one man that could chop at his heels, and that's Chandler Simpson.
And that's the conversation. And I think, you know, I don't know that he's going to be getting a whole lot of center field reps this season, because I think that, you know, he to me, and maybe you disagree with me on this, I think that the place that Chandler Simpson can get to the minors, the major leagues, is in left. I don't necessarily think so much in center, because I think they're going to give Johnny DeLuca that spot, but maybe not. Maybe do you think that Simpson's best path to, you know, major league at bats is in center?
Not this year.
Yeah.
Maybe if DeLuca kind of plays to his floor, I don't see why they don't give Chandler Simpson a full-time run in center field.
Yeah. Next year, I'm 100% with you on 2026. That is the thing I would say about the season for DeLuca. If you are Johnny DeLuca, you cannot pretend like you do not see Chandler Simpson over there doing what he's doing. And that is absolutely a threat for 2026. Absolutely a threat for 2026. And, you know, DeLuca set it and forget it for this year. Same thing with Josh Lowe. Next year, that will not be the case for DeLuca. He's going to need to earn his spot this year. If he wants to continue to be the set it and forget it center fielder, he's going to need to have a good performance. And if you out there are looking for a wardrobe that you can set and forget, I have a really simple solution for you at shop.rblrsports.com, where you can get all the best merchandise inspired by your favorite Tampa Bay Rays or Tampa Bay sports teams. I always almost say Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are there. The Bucks are there. The Lightning are there. The Rowdies are there. The Sun are there. Shop.rblrsports.com. Get 10% off your entire order with promo code FLAPPY. Flappy, FLAPPY, 10% off with promo code Flappy, shop.rblrsports.com.
What better way to celebrate St. David's Day than to get some RBLR Sports merchandise? Shout out to all our Welsh listeners or people who have Welsh family in the RBLR community, celebrate St. David's Day the best way with some RBLR sports merch. Do you have any Welsh connections?
I do not. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I support all the people supporting that holiday. So I have no idea what that is. But I'm
Wales,
sure it's
the
great.
Country of Wales. Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of the country of Wales. I have not heard of St. David's Day. I do not know.
So everyone in the UK, every country of the UK has their own like saint that's their day.
Oh, okay.
And St. David's is the patron saint of Wales. We have St. George in England. St. Andrew is in Scotland, and St. Patrick is in Ireland.
I did know about that one. I also knew about St. George as well, because he was the one who fought the dragon.
He did, yeah.
I didn't know about that. Yeah, didn't know about that.
go on.
Speaking of dragons, left field. I don't really know what's going on over there yet. There hasn't been a whole lot so far in spring training that's made me feel super good about what's going on over there. This is, I think, the most, by far, volatile position for the Rays in 2025, and I would not be comfortable telling you who is going to get the most starts there. The couple of the names that are in contention for this spot, the one that we think is going to get the start to begin the season, or at least, you know, that's what FanGraphs thinks anyway, is Christopher Morel. He's the guy that you – like, I think we can – you know, as much as we like some of the other guys maybe we're going to talk about, I think – the ideal scenario is Christopher Morel plays well enough to earn that spot all season long, because he was the primary return in the trade for Isak Paredes. So you'd really like Morel to earn that spot. But behind him, you've got guys like Richie Palacios. Caballero is now playing some left field, so he's now in the mix. You've got maybe Chandler Simpson is you know, he's kind of maybe fighting for a spot out there. There's a lot of guys that are kind of, you know, sitting – there's four or five guys that are kind of bouncing around as potential options there. And nobody is, like, absolutely blowing me away except for Simpson, but we haven't seen him do it at the major league level. So we're kind of left. And Eloy is the other guy where I don't know that he's really going to be playing that much outfield, but he's also somebody that you've got to find a spot for if he's – you know, if he can kind of get some form here. You got all those guys all kicking around for the spot. Where's your head at right now on left field?
Yeah, definitely volatile is the word for it. Like you said, it's all over the place, really. And it's kind of going to be just throw in spaghetti at the wall and see if it sticks. Because every person in the mix for the left field job has a skill and a clear weakness as well. Yep. Morel is that he cannot field. Like, oh my goodness, can he not field? Like, I know I have a tendency to sometimes sound hyperbolic, but I actually don't think I'm being hyperbolic when I say Christopher Morel is the worst fielder I've seen on a major league team in my entire history of watching baseball.
Worse than Harold?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if
easily
I'd say that.
Worse than Harold.
Worse than Harold? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. It's close, though. And that's not a good thing to say. It's close.
I have seen Harold make routine plays.
Oh, no.
I do not always see Chris Morel making routine plays. Like, even like anything above like a two-star catch, Harold can't do it. But Morel can sometimes not even do the one-star catches. And what's frustrating is, like, technically we're playing him out of position because he's not really played much of the outfield before coming to the Rays, but he couldn't play his primary position of third base either, or second base. No. So the reason that he's going for the left field job right now is because we feel like that's the place where he's going to do the least in the field. That's why he's there. Like, otherwise, he would have probably played more third base when we acquired him at the deadline, because Caminero wasn't up at that point. But we were like, no, we can't.
Absolutely not. We'd rather Savvy be out there at third than.
Yeah. So why is Morel even under consideration when he put up negative 0.8 FWAR in just like 40 games with the Rays? The reason he is in contention and probably the favorite to land the left field job is because there is a lot of potential in his bat. He swings the bat super hard, has tons of raw power in there, has the potential to be a 35 home run guy if he can hit the ball enough, because he does have a lot of swing and miss in his game at the moment. Hit a lot of ground balls as well.
Yeah.
The Rays are hoping that he just had an uncharacteristic, awful spell in the immediate time that he had with the Rays. And they have liked him for a while. When they were trading Glasnow, there were discussions with the Cubs at the time that centered around Glasnow for Morel plus others. They like this guy. And it's very rare that the Rays are this keen on acquiring a guy and the person is straight out bad.
Yeah.
So they're hoping that we have seen the worst of Christopher Morel already and that he will tap into that power potential that he has and put up 30 home runs with like a 240 to 250 batting average. That's what they're looking for Chris Morel. And that when he's in left field, there's loads of lefties in the lineup.
A buzzword that gets thrown around a lot, like when you look at a team kind of going into a season, is X factor. There's a couple guys that could fit that bill. The reason why I think Morel is kind of the X factor is because the variance of his performance is so wild. There's like, he could be anywhere from like not starting and like either DFA'd or like, or something. I don't know if he has options or not. Do you have options?
No, he
does not. So we'd have to DFA him if he wasn't, like, that could happen. Or he could hit 30 home runs and be an all-star. Like that's the variance. So that's what we're talking about. Now, I think the realistic likelihood is not that he's going to get DFA'd. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's very realistic to assume he could have a very meh season and hit 15 home runs. That could absolutely happen. Or he could be pretty good and hit like 20, 25 home runs. And we look at it and we say, well, you know, maybe he's not playing to his potential fully, but he's pretty good. And I think that's kind of what we're hoping for, is because I would love for him to be like this elite power guy and he's hitting 30 home runs and he's getting, you know, he's an all-star type of guy and he just locks down left field. I think the more realistic thing from him, because I do think when you look at the, you know, he was hitting the ball on the ground a little bit too much and he was striking out a little bit too much. I'm hoping but the thing about it is a lot of those numbers do not line up with his previous seasons. Like a lot of them were an aberration from his previous performance. So I expect him to bounce back there and start to provide the kind of value offensively that we had been expecting. You know, but he really does need to be hitting to like a 115, 120 WRC plus, because otherwise he's just so bad. Where then you start to think, well, does he have to, because if he's hitting well enough, but he's fielding that bad, does he have to go to DH? And we're going to talk about DH next. And that's just as murky looking at DH. And there's a lot, even more guys that are fighting for that spot. So you really need him to figure out how to play just like slightly below average left field and just hope that nobody hits it over there, or hope that like Junior Caminero grows like 3 or 4 inches and can just kind of grab him out of the air or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't get over there to him. That's what you got to kind of hope for. And then just hope that, you know, 120 WRC plus performance comes from him and he's worth whatever, you know, just, you got to kind of shield your eyes when the ball goes in his direction, but he's worth it. Cause he went the next inning, he's going to hit one over the fence.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's be honest with ourselves. Randy Arozarena was not a good fielder, but he kind of got away with it in left field with the Rays. So can the same happen with Morel? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right, though. He does absolutely need to put up at least like 115 WRC plus, or he's probably a net negative for the team.
Randy wasn't like actively bad. Like, he wasn't great. Like, I don't think that I would call him a bad fielder. He was just slightly below average, maybe, or slightly average. You know, I think that his physical tools were declining on him a little bit, but I don't think I've seen, I mean, occasionally Randy, I think, would get a little complacent and miss a ball here or there, but like, I don't know that Morel is being complacent. I think it just isn't very good, you know, like from a fielding perspective.
So I really want it to work for Chris Morel. And I said this about Caminero. You're right. He's an X factor. His performance will probably correlate to how well the team's offensive performance is doing, because they're going to plug him in the middle of the order to start the season. So he's got to come up with the goods. If he is as bad as he could be and gets DFA'd or like loses a starting spot or has to move to DH. But who, we need to have a backup in left field. Who's your backup for left field?
So like for me, the backup for me in left field is Chandler Simpson. I've had this thought for a while, even before the season started, but the preseason started. But as spring training has gone on, I've only become more confident. I'm going to throw something out to you that I think is maybe a little bit crazy, and you can tell me if it's crazy, but I think we need to think about it. How do you feel about Chandler Simpson on, Caballero off? So you have, you only have Junior as emergency shortstop, and you've got Walls playing full time to start the season at shortstop, and but you bring Chandler Simpson on the roster.
It's risky. It's risky.
But you can just Junior. Call Cabby up if something happens,
right? Because Caballero's got options.
He does.
Ask me in like 2 weeks. Ask me in 2 weeks because I'm not dismissing the idea out of hand. Let's see Chandler Simpson a little bit more before we make that decision full time. Because Caballero is, you're right, is not particularly great, but I do worry about if Taylor Walls goes down in the first month of the season or so, we don't have a shortstop.
Yeah, and I think that if that does happen, you know, you can obviously bring up Caballero and swap them out there. The thing that, you know, and I'm being very optimistic about Chandler Simpson because the truth is if he does come up and if he is a part of the roster and playing at the major league level, young guys are generally bad at baseball. And he's probably going to be, you know, a very up and down type of guy. I believe that the ups and downs are worth it with him because of the tools that are there and the value he can bring to the team. Because the truth is, there's going to be a stretch if he comes up and is starting a couple games where he goes 0 for like 21 or something and looks bad. Like that's going to happen no matter what. And he just can't seem to get on base. He'll get thrown out once or twice and it's going to look really bad. That's going to happen. It's just going to. I think it's worth it because that guy is a part of this team's future. He will be starting somewhere sooner rather than later. I don't think there's a world where he's not on the opening day roster for 2026, barring him either being traded or him being injured. So to me, I'm okay with giving him those starts and getting him on the roster, and I'm okay with the ups and downs because I think if we could get a pretty good version, a major league version of Chandler Simpson by the end of the season, that is worth the ups and downs. Because imagine having a guy like Chandler Simpson playing to his potential or close to it, even close to it in the playoffs, a weapon like that to put in your nine hole. Like I talked about earlier with him in your nine hole, Yandy at the one spot, like the kind of pressure that would put on a pitching staff in the postseason. I think it's worth it. I'm taking a long view on this because I don't know that right now Chandler Simpson is better than Jose Caballero because Cabby steals bases too. He's very fast. He also gets thrown out a lot, but he also does steal bases and he does provide value there. But I think that Chandler Simpson has the ability to be you want to talk about X factor, a guy that is going to, you know, really put pressure on defenses with his skill set, and to have a guy like that get the experience he needs to be able to perform at that level in the postseason is worth running him out there and maybe getting some subpar performances, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with anything that you've said necessarily. Where does Richie Palacios fit into all this then?
That's where it gets tricky because I think Palacios is the other guy who is, you know, it's going to be really hard to find, you know, consistent at-bats for him. Maybe it's a platoon situation with the two of them. But it's not a platoon because they both hit left. That kind of kills my idea.
It could be a platoon between him and Morel. You also, yes, I guess the question with Richie Palacios is he in the same bucket as Meade and Simpson and Jimenez as, hey, your roster spot's not guaranteed, buddy. Like, you're in that mix.
I kind of think he's on the roster. I'm not really – I kind of have him penciled in. I'm not going to put him in pen quite yet, but I'm pretty close because I think he's kind of the perfect, you know, Ben Zobrist type. I don't know if he's that. He's not quite that good. I don't know if he is. I don't think he is. But he can play second. He could play, you know, first if he probably needed to. He could play in the outfield. He could play all three outfield positions. He has that positional versatility. I think he deserves a spot on the roster. If I had to choose between Simpson and Palacios, I would choose Palacios as much as I love Simpson.
Okay, so what's Palacios' role on this team ideally for you?
So my ideal role for him is, I think, because again, I think that there's a world where it's a platoon or not every day starting in left field, and you've got him also as a backup second baseman to get Brandon Lau a day off his feet. He can also play second if they want to have, like, let's say they want to go all lefties or mostly lefties, and they want to give Yandy a day off, let Brandon Lau, you know, play DH, let Aranda play first. You can maybe flip-flop those or whatever, and you have a middle infield of, you know, Palacios and Aranda at first and be loud DHing. I think that's kind of his role. I don't know if he's going to get consistent starts per se, but he's kind of my first guy. He's my first guy up.
Okay.
Off the bench right now.
Yeah. Okay. So he's definitely on the roster. He does have an option if you want it. But yeah, I would rather send Cabby down than Palacios for sure. Yeah. So Palacios is an interesting one. Bats left. My favorite thing about him is he walks a ton. He knows the strike zone really well. He'll give you a grindy at bat every time he takes the box. Power's not really all there, but I've got optimism for Palacios in this short porch if he gets enough playing time. I think he's never done it, but I would put money on Palacios getting to double-digit home runs this year.
I think he could get to 10 or 11 very easily. Very easily.
Yeah. Assuming health. So... Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, he's not spectacular as a fielder anywhere, but he's solid everywhere. Yes. Mm-hmm. He can play either corner, second base, kind of his main positions. Bats left, so he has that long side platoon. I know the Rays are against this, but I'm going to transition into the DH discussion now.
It's very they're connected.
Yeah. Is it better? Is it a better game plan to have Palacios be the starting left fielder every day and have Morales like a full-time DH?
This is where it gets so tricky, because I feel like you have to have Aranda and Yandy in most of the time.
Yeah.
And if Yandy's playing first, then Aranda's DHing and vice versa. And then that's where it gets so tricky. Cause to me, I think DH is, like, in a way it's complicated, but in a way it's not. I feel like it's just whoever's not starting in the field between Yandy and Aranda for the most part. The other guys that are competing for the spot are Eloy, who has not impressed me so far, and Mead, who has impressed me so far. So I would put Mead above, you know, Jimenez right now, but Mead can also play second.
Right. So and that's where I think he played a couple. I think he can play the corner outfield. He can definitely play third.
He can definitely play third.
Yeah. Do you think Mead can play corner outfield?
Could he? Maybe. I don't know if I don't think they've asked him to yet. He's I just don't know how his routes would be.
He can't be worse than Chris Murray.
I kind of agree with you. But I mean, like, but that's where we're at, because we're in this scenario where we're like, there's all these bats and there's not enough positions on the roster to get them all in there. And the truth is, somebody's going to be left holding the bag. And I just don't know who it's going to be right now. And the reason why I've always been kind of out on Mead is I kind of feel like he's the one that's going to be left holding the bag, because he doesn't have the same level of positional versatility as a Palacios, who I think they are directly competing, because I don't think that he has the bat that Aranda does right now, at least. I think he might one day have that bat. He doesn't have the bat of the other starters of Yandy or Bilal. He obviously doesn't have Caminero's bat. He doesn't have the power potential of Morel. So then you're just kind of left with he's pretty good at a lot of things, and he's not great at any of them. However, his pretty good could be a 20 home run, 40 double type of guy, and you don't want that guy on the bench either. This is where it gets so hard when you're looking at these positions, because that's where, like, I would like to do exactly what you're talking about and let Morel DH and let Palacios play left. But Aranda's too good. I feel like Aranda's too good.
Yeah, because that the if Morel going to DH means you put Palacios' bat in the lineup over Aranda, and you would never do that if it was just a bat for bat type comparison. So you're right. I think you're right, but it's so tricky to fit them all in. Right. We know who our two catchers are going to be.
Yes.
So let's quickly just have a brief discussion on our catchers, and then we'll try and currently project the 13 position players that are going to be on this Rays roster.
Ugh, yes, we will try.
I know we're coming up to an hour, but stick with us, folks. Stick with us.
We're going to wrap it up here. Okay. Pretty simple. Danny Jansen, Ben Roerfelt. Danny Jansen right, Ben Roerfelt left. Danny Jansen's probably better than Ben Roerfelt with the bat. I think, like, it may look like a platoon. I think Danny Jansen's going to get the majority of the starts. He's looked good so far. They brought him in and paid him as much as they paid him. He's your starting catcher. Roerfelt's the backup. They may decide on an odd day to platoon him a little bit, but I think we're going to see a lot of Danny Jansen.
Yeah, 100%. Really good at blocking, not great at throwing out runners, so-so fielder, framer. Yeah. Game calling, we'll see. Not enough sample, really. He's learning the staff. So, like, we'll chill on the game calling for now. But, everyone, everywhere he's played, people liked him. Former Blue Jays managers have talked highly of him. Alex Cora has talked highly of him. Seems to vibe well in the clubhouse. I'm really happy that the Rays went and got a veteran catcher that's kind of, you know, major league plug and play. Because, oh my goodness, we had a rough time of it last year with catchers. And Roerfelt, I think, is perfectly positioned as a backup catcher. I think that's his best role. 8 out of 10 for the catcher position. Not because I think they're like Adley Rutschman level, but just like, I don't care about the catcher position. I'm like totally like, that's fine. Yeah.
They're going to be fine. That's about all I could say. They're going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. I was a little worried about it before they got Jansen, and I think I'm now fine. I'm not like, I'm just kind of like, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It won't be the black hole that it was last year. It was a mess last year. It was an absolute mess last year, and I don't want to pretend it's not. okay.
Here we go.
So this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to say each of the positions, and then we're going to give our like starter for each position. And then after that, we have four bench spots.
Correct.
So let's start with that. Starting first baseman.
Yandy Diaz.
Starting second baseman.
Brandon Lau.
Starting shortstop.
Taylor Walls. And Taylor then eventually Ha-Seong Kim.
Yeah, Taylor Walls asterisk Ha-Seong Kim from May onwards. Third base.
Junior Caminero.
Yeah, catcher.
Danny Jansen.
Right field.
Josh Lowe.
Center field.
Johnny DeLuca.
Left field.
On opening day, Christopher Morel.
Yeah, Christopher Morel. Okay, so we've said all of those guys. We have four spots. The way I'm going to categorize them is backup catcher, backup infielder, backup outfielder, utility man, or 26th man, we'll call him.
Yep.
Okay, so backup catcher
is Roerfelt.
Yep. Backup outfielder.
I'm going to say Chandler Simpson.
Okay, Chandler Simpson.
It's Chandler Simpson for me.
Okay. Then backup infielder.
Palacios.
Okay. That's how you're lining that up. You're going to have Palacios as the infielder. Okay.
Correct.
26th man.
By the way, Jonathan Aranda for DH.
DH Jonathan Aranda. Yeah,
we're on the same page there.
Okay, 26th man.
26th man.
It's down to Meade. It's down to Caballero. It's down to Jimenez.
Yeah.
Realistically, unless you're going to like come out of left field and say,
I'm going I'm going with my crazy idea. I'm going to put Mead in.
Just okay.
Change my mind. I'm going with my crazy idea of no backup shortstop except for maybe Junior.
Okay, my mind lines up with yours, except I'm not quite. I'm fine with Simpson being backup outfielder. I'm going to list Caballero as my backup infielder and Palacios as the 26th man. Mead okay. Not yet there yet for me.
Here's the reason why I'm doing okay. that. Because once Ha-Seong Kim comes back, mm-hmm. Taylor Walls bumps down.
Yeah.
He becomes the 26th man to me at that point.
Not backup infielder Palacios was the 26th man?
I know, because I think Palacios is still better than Walls. He provides more value. He's still my – I mean, I guess you could say – but I'm still running with the idea that Ha-Seong Kim's starting at shortstop.
Yeah. Yep,
most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, the reason why I'm bringing Mead up is because I want to give him a shot. I think he's – if he keeps playing the way he's playing right now, I want to give him a shot. Like,
okay.
Like he is showing me what I needed to see. Like, I needed to – like I said at the beginning of spring training – I need Mead to blow me away. He's blowing me away right now.
Yeah, but are you not scared of no shortstops potentially?
I'm not really, because if Walls gets hurt, Junior scoots over to short for the rest of the game and Mead plays third or whatever, and then you just bring up Cabby the next day.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like and if Walls is terrible and you have to move,
We know Walls, like we've seen Walls be terrible when they don't move him off the position anyway.
Right. Like, yeah. and this idea that I've had that I've thought about it a little bit. I got it kind of confirmed in our Rays group chat, talking with some of the guys there. They kind of gave me the courage to say the idea that's been bouncing around in my head of not having a backup shortstop, especially, and this is unique because you have a guy that you're confident can play the position with options. This is a unique scenario where you're not always in that spot. You don't always have a guy with options that you feel confident can play, but you do right now. So because you have a guy that you can move up and down like that, I'm gonna say, unfortunately, leave him in AAA.
Okay. I guess the only other devil's advocate thing I can say is you're right if Walls gets hurt, but also that means like Walls gets no days off either.
I feel like that's kind of
the gig. Them's the breaks, kids.
I feel like that's kind of the gig. Them's the breaks. You have 48 games, 45 games to tell us why you should be the starting shortstop and not this guy we just paid $13 million. So we're going to run you out there every day.
Every single day.
I'm running him out there every single day. Figure it out, kid.
Rookie
did it for like 2 years.
That's true. I respect it. I have nothing but respect for it. But me, the coward, I'm going to keep. I also don't want to be convinced on Curtis Mead after a week of games.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm an emotional guy. I'll be honest. I'm an emotional guy.
You're a Mead defender. You've been defending Mead for a long time.
Yep, and I talked about him a lot last season. I kind of there was a moment of doubt to kind of start this season and a couple episodes ago where I was kind of having my doubts about him, but like I just feel like because he's really good.
Yeah, and
he deserves a chance.
I don't want to ruin you having a good time over Curtis Mead. Okay, what do you think? Do you think we should do the no shortstop experiment and leave Caballero off the roster in favor of Curtis Mead based on the hot start he's had in spring training? Do you think Chandler Simpson has done enough already to earn himself a major league roster spot? Do you think there's someone that we're totally missing? Do you think Morel should ever hold a glove in his hand again? You should let us know on the social media channels. You can let us know on X, Blue Sky, Instagram. All those good things. You can tweet us. You can send us messages. And of course, leave comments right here on the YouTube feed or wherever you're listening to this on your podcast feed.
Absolutely. We're getting so close to the regular season. We can smell it. It's right there. And we're so excited to go through the whole season with you guys. Whatever nonsense is going to happen in left field, whatever weird combination is going to be in DH, we're going to get to walk through it all with you guys. We're really, really excited about it. It's going to be a fun season, guys. It's going to be a fun season.
Absolutely. A really exciting season. I'm really excited for this season. And oh my God, if you thought this was a complicated mess, we're going to try and sort out the bullpen next week. Yeah.
Get ready for next week, guys. We got the bullpen. Tough one. But for now, raise up.
Raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.